So have you got your mind made up? Glad to hear it. Let's pray. Lord, not my will, but yours. Not my words, but yours, I pray. Open our hearts today, Lord. Open our hearts to hear from you. Holy Spirit, come and have your way in this place. Come and have your way in our hearts. We submit, we surrender to you. And all the people said, amen. It is my privilege and pleasure to start us off on a study of the book of Acts. So today we're going to be looking at Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. The church is born. From super zeros to superheroes. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. Looking forward to that? I know I am. Today's good. Turn to the person next to you and say, Christ is enough for me. Now turn to the person on the other side and say, God is God and I am not. People want to be superheroes. There's so many movies at the moment with superheroes in them. And they're making lots of money. Why? Because we all want to be a superhero. We all want the power. We all want the control. We all want to be able to control our own destiny. When I was growing up, my teacher asked me the question that most teachers at some point will ask you. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I surprised her a little bit with my answer. I said, I want to be Batman. And she looked at me, and everybody else was saying fireman, policeman. I wanted to be Batman. She didn't laugh at me. I appreciated that. And she turned around and she said, why not Superman? Superman can fly. And I said, in my serious 5-year-old voice, Superman's not real. But Batman, I could be Batman. Because Batman's a man, and I could be Batman. Superman's from another planet. It's not real. You see, in reality, and this is the point that I want to make today, again and again and again, in reality, through the power and leading of the Holy Spirit, we are involved in the greatest miracle of all, leading other people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We are part of an army saving the world. We are superheroes. You see, without Christ, we can do nothing. In John 15:5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through Christ and the accompanying empowerment and leading of the Holy Spirit, we go from super zero to superhero. Amen? Tell yourself, put your hand on your heart, say, I am a superhero. When you save someone from eternity separate from God, you are a superhero. Believe it. Now, how did this happen? Let's see as we look at our passage. Oop. I knew I was going to muck this up. There's too many buttons on this thing. Here we see Jesus' earthly ministry become his heavenly ministry. Luke, the author, guided by the Holy Spirit, splits Jesus' life into earthly and heavenly ministries through his gospel and the book of Acts. We move from the finished work of the cross to his continued work at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Through verses 1 through 4, we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all mentioned. This is significant and doesn't happen that often. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is setting us up for something here. And then he mentions that Christ gave orders by the Holy Spirit. Now, this phrase is used nowhere else, which is also significant. We're being shown here the connection. We're being shown how we're moving from one to another, while at the same time, God being God, three parts, all is one. But we must remember that all Christ did as the perfect Son of God, he did so depending on the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the fullness of the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. He spoke and taught by the Spirit. He cast out demons by the Spirit. He healed the sick by the Spirit. He was offered on Calvary by the Spirit. He was resurrected by the Spirit. He gave commandments by the Spirit. He baptized and empowered his church and us by the Spirit. And he directs and governs his church by the Spirit. It's very simple. If Christ depended on the Holy Spirit, then so must we. If we try and do things outside of the prompting and power of the Holy Spirit, we are doing things in our own strength. God is God, and we are not. We must come in line with what he wants, not what we want. Christ is the cornerstone of this kingdom. In verse 3, we see Christ revealing his resurrection through infallible proofs. Christ risen is a foundation stone of the church, and the infallibility of God's word is a part of that. If people are allowed to twist God's word, then everything we believe will start to fall. And I believe we're seeing some of it already. You see, if the Bible is wrong at any point, then how can we be sure that it is right at any point? We must allow the Spirit to help us understand the Word and be able to defend it. I really wish we had more time today to delve into that, but I would start with a study of 1 Corinthians 15. We must learn to defend what we believe, because our enemy is organized, militarized, and trying to destroy it from the ground up. Now let's compare verses 3 with verse 6. In one we have the kingdom of God, in the other the kingdom of Israel. They were still looking for the restoration of Israel when God had a much bigger plan in mind. The Gospels focused on the kingdom of God, but here we move into the kingdom of God being carried and planted by God's church. That's you. From Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. John 18:36-37, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." We today are continuing the establishment of the kingdom here on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In verse 7, Jesus makes it clear that advanced knowledge of the times and season is not for us to know. We're called to obedience, not precognition. And we need to stop scrambling around trying to twist God's arm over the future and just accept that God is God and we are not. Perfect love drives out the fear of what the future brings and what it holds. So let's pray for each other that we will be perfected in love and trust His ways that are higher than our ways. And I say this as the biggest hypocrite that ever walked the earth. So pray for me as well. God, help us. But then we move from Jesus Christ and His earthly ministry to the coming of the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful what we say. Because even when I just said the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's not like the Holy Spirit wasn't there already. We must be very careful what we say. But the Holy Spirit is promised in a new way. Luke 24:49 says, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." John 15:26, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me." Ephesians 1:13, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now there are about 50 references to the Holy Spirit in Acts alone, so this is just a small sample of some of the promises of the Holy Spirit, clothed with power from on high, led into the Spirit of truth, sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Those are three good ones to start with. But again, I hope today that you go away wanting to know more. I hope today that you go away and seek these promises for yourself. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. The infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit is a phrase that is often argued about. My favorite illustration is one by A.B. Simpson. He says we're like a bottle, and the Holy Spirit is the ocean. You can put the ocean in the bottle, and you can put the bottle in the ocean. The bottle isn't big enough to contain the ocean, but the ocean can contain the bottle and fill the bottle, and we are that bottle. Which is why we must endeavor to make sure that everything that within us is free so that there can be less of us and more of God as he fills that bottle, as the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. But the infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit is a phrase that is often argued about. And here it is linked to water baptism, which is also a phrase which is often argued about. In Matthew 3:16-17, we see Jesus receiving both baptisms at one time. However, as I have already pointed out, Jesus was already born of the Spirit. So what can we say here? And what can I say without offending someone? Well, I figured if I'm going to offend anyone, I might as well offend everyone. Because there just aren't enough words to describe the Holy Spirit. We cannot tie the Holy Spirit down to words that human mouths can utter. So if you're ready for this, when I cried out to God for Holy Spirit 101, Holy Spirit, the book for dummies, what I got was Matthew 7:1, do not judge. You see, the easiest place in this army that we're in, the easiest place in advancing army to be hurt is a stab to the back. And we must meditate on the word in James 3 regarding the tongue. And I'm not just talking about what we say to each other. I'm talking about what we say to ourselves. I've lost track of the number of times people have come up to me and said, God couldn't use someone like me. Do not allow the lies of the enemy to be on your tongue. Do not judge. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not for us to say who has the Holy Spirit and who does not. We are all sinners saved by grace. God is God and we are not. And the point that I judge my brothers and sisters in Christ is the point that I myself try to become God. And that's a very bad idea. In a previous sermon, we read 2 Timothy 2:23, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. So let's not judge. See, in my kitchen, I have many appliances. Some you put bread in and toast comes out. It's a wonderful thing. Others you put in cold water and out comes hot water. I have all these appliances in my kitchen and they look different. And they have different functions, but they all run off the same power. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm looking at you now. You look different. You don't do the same things, but you are still empowered by the same power. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. What I do know is this. In Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's not put a limit on that. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Some people have said to me, I've asked, but I don't think I'm filled. And I'm saying, stand on the Word of God. Don't stand on emotional experiences. Stand on the Word of God. What I do know is that Jesus told them to wait until the Holy Spirit anointed them. What I do know is that we must work together and support each other. What I do know is that we must take time to listen and do what the Holy Spirit tells us to, and when he tells us to do it. We must grow together with each other and with the Holy Spirit's leading. You see, it is time for God's people to stop saying, do it my way, and start working on being personally obedient to the Holy Spirit in all things. It is the fruits of the Spirit in our own lives that we should be producing. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Looking at someone trying to determine whether they are Spirit-filled does not fit with the list of the fruits of the Spirit. being personally, continually filled with the enabling power of the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is God and we are not. Let God be the judge. As for us, let us be obedient to our call to produce good fruit in keeping with repentance. John 21:25 says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." What we have in the Bible is a description, not a prescription. It is a description of the works of God, not a prescription of blow by blow how to do things. We must be careful. When I was studying at university, we heard about superstition and how superstition grows. They told the story of a man who had just been given a new tie. And he went to the races to bet on the horses wearing his new tie. So obviously he was a bad man to start with, wasn't he? Those of you who are laughing or remembering, do not judge. I'm going to come back to that. He's wearing this new tie, and all of a sudden he wins big at the races. So all of a sudden he proclaims, "This is my lucky tie. And whenever I wear this lucky tie, I am going to be lucky." So he goes back to the races again. But this time he doesn't win. In fact, he loses a lot. Rather than turning around and saying, "Oh, well, that tie wasn't so lucky after all," he starts thinking, "Well, what else happened today? What did I not do this morning? Did a black cat walk across my path?" And so the superstition grows. And we must be careful that in our dealings with God and our dealings with the Holy Spirit, we don't move into superstition and emotionally based reasoning. It happened that way, so therefore it'll always happen that way. I believe Jesus healed in many different ways to prove this point, to show to us that he is God and we are not. We must look to the new thing that he's going to do. We must be obedient rather than try and do things the same way every time. Obedience is the key, and for that we must listen. So do not judge, do not say it must be done this way. We need to take the knife out of each other's backs, and indeed we need to take the knife out of our own back. As an army, we must move forward together, standing on the truth of God's word revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now please, do not think that I'm saying that we should compromise doctrine or compromise our beliefs. We must, as I said earlier, take a stand on God's word as being infallible. But in situations where God has not made it abundantly clear how something should be done, we must accept that he had a good reason for that and not make our own laws that do nothing but bind people up with false judgment and condemnation. Again, we must look to the fruit of what it is that we're doing. Because Romans 8:1 tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, as for me and my house, we're going to work on taking the speck out of our own eye and leave everyone else up to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Amen. Let's all love each other, submit to God, and move on. Christ is enough, God is God, and we are not. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are superheroes. So the kingdom begins to expand. In verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." I wonder where that is. I think it's a place in people's minds rather than a place on the earth, to be honest. If you follow through Acts, as we will be, you see this prophecy coming to pass in precisely this order. It also follows Peter's ministry through to Paul's ministry, which also traces the move of the gospel from the Jews and on to the Gentiles. and from Jerusalem and on to Rome, from the religious hub of the world to the political hub of the world. God's very smart, in case you hadn't noticed. He had everything set up to spread the gospel as quickly as possible. Now, the word power here in verse 8 carries the meaning ability as well as power. We will be enabled to carry out this mission. We need it to be enabled. And the word witness here is the Greek base word for the word martyr. Now, this term has come to mean many other things in our Christianese language, but here it is used simply as someone who bears witness to the truth. This is a continuation of a call in Matthew 28:18-20, to take the kingdom of God and establish it throughout the world. This is our mission. Through God's enabling, we are called to save the world. And if you are called to save the world, you have to be a superhero. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that any of this is of ourselves. But hand in hand with God, we are superheroes. Believe it, hand in hand with God, we are superheroes saving the world. And as often you see with superheroes, sometimes we are misjudged. Sometimes our efforts to save the world are not met in the way that we would like them to be. As soldiers in the army of God, continuing Christ's mission, we are superheroes saving the world one person at a time. Christ is my superhero. Put your hand on your heart again and tell yourself, I am a superhero. So what does this mean? Verses 9 to 11 tell the story of Jesus' ascension into heaven and leave us with the promise that he will return. I just have to pause there. You know, in Psalms where it says Selah, and you're supposed to stop and pause. I just want to say that again and give you a moment to think about it. This tells of Jesus' ascension into heaven and leaves us with the promise he will return. Amen. Now, I believe that Jesus was received up to heaven in this way to show his followers that he had indeed left, and through that, to impress on them and us that the job was theirs. And now that commission has been passed on to us today. We need the enabling of the Holy Spirit to complete it. They had walked in the sight of Jesus. Now it was time to walk in faith in Jesus. Sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us daily until the time of his return. You see, even though some of them had spent 3 years being taught by Jesus, still they were not ready to go it without him. Hiding in a room, Peter denying Jesus 3 times. No amount of teaching, even the teaching of Jesus for 3 years, was not enough. Jesus himself said it, wait until you have been empowered. It is not enough. We certainly need to do it, but it is not enough. Hiding in a room, denying Christ, but then all of a sudden, as you will see as we go through Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to go from super zero to superhero. And everybody looked at them and marveled. And every time they marveled at them, the apostles would turn around and say, this is not us. This is God in us. To him be the glory. There is no amen at the end of this book. There is no amen because the book story continues in us today. We are part of this history. We continue the fight until Jesus returns to claim his bride, the church. Christ is enough, God is God, and we are not. But through the continual daily infilling of the Holy Spirit, we go from super zero to superhero, saving the world from hell. Very shortly, we're going to sing a song that says, Spirit, lead me, where my feet would never wander. It is time to get out of the boat of all that's comfortable and walk on the waters. the waters of the ocean of the Holy Spirit. Because that boat is like a shell on a crab. We can't grow any bigger than the confines of that boat. We can't grow any bigger than the extent to which we think we know God's plans. To grow in God, we must get out of all that we can do by ourselves and walk on the waters of all that God can do in and through us through the empowering and enabling of the Holy Spirit. It's a scary thing to do, but here's the thing. Jesus was waiting for Peter outside that boat. And I believe that the fullness of all that God has for us also lies outside of our preconceived ideas. And you see, that's the thing with us superheroes. When we're led and empowered by the Spirit of God, we continue to grow in obedience and effectiveness. We need more of the ocean of the Spirit inside the bottle that we are. And to do that, the bottle must become bigger. We must expand our knowledge and our belief of God. Spirit, lead us must be our cry together. Lead us together. Lead us in unity. Lead us to establish your kingdom. Lead us in truth. Lead us in power and your enabling. Lead us beyond ourselves and into all that you want us to be for our sake and the sake of others in this world. Spirit, lead us. Let's pray together. Father God, you sent your Son to die for us. And then your Son, after he had risen again, told us to wait until we were clothed with power from on high. May we continue to cry out for that daily. Help us, Lord. Lead us where our feet would not normally go. Take us to where you want us to be. Take us together, arm in arm, supporting each other. Lord, if there is anyone here today who believes that God cannot use them, I pray that that lie would be struck down in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, that they would stand, lift their heart before you and say, God, fill me. Make me more. Make me a superhero. Help us, Lord, to go out into that world, to take your presence with us. May your glory be upon our faces and upon everything that we do. May people be drawn to it. And Lord, we stand before you now and we ask for your help. Take us from super zero to superhero and hold us there. May we walk upon the waters of everything that you have for us. May we not look back. May we continue to walk until all that is left is you. Strengthen us today, we pray. In Jesus' name.